The first reading, which will also serve as the sermon text this morning, from Numbers chapter 27. Moses spoke to the Lord. May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the community who will go out before them and come in before them, who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the community of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and place your hand on him. Have him stand in front of Eleazar, the priest, and the entire community. You will commission him in their sight. You will give him some of your authority to him, so that the entire Israelite community will listen to him. He will stand before Eleazar, the priest, who will inquire for him before the Lord with the decision of the Urim. He and all the Israelites with him, the entire community, will go out at his command and come in at his command. Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand in front of Eleazar the priest and the entire community. He placed his hands on him and commissioned him, just as the Lord spoke through Moses. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Lord, your words are a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. Amen. 38 years he had been holding out hope that God would change his mind. After all, the Lord is a gracious and compassionate God. But that's what Moses, the leader of God's people, had failed to show by the waters of Meribah. That incident where the Israelites had been complaining, we're so thirsty, God doesn't love us, we don't like you, Moses. And Moses had talked to God about it, and God said, speak to the rock, and water will flow out for them. But Moses had had it. Like a earthly flawed father, he snapped at these kids who wouldn't stop complaining. And so he says, must we bring water for you out of this rock, you rebels? He struck the rock, and water came out. One shout, two strikes, and Moses was out. God said to Moses and to Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the eyes of the Israelites, therefore you will not bring this assembly into the land which I have given to them. Moses, I wanted to show these people how gracious and compassionate I am, how patient I am, but you made me seem like an angry and petty God. I wanted to give them gospel, and you gave them law. So now you won't be able to lead them into the promised land. Here we are, 38 years later. Will God change his mind? Moses had prayed for that a few times throughout the years, and God had finally said to him, Moses, enough, I'm not talking about this anymore. But here he was, ready to die because God had brought Moses up onto a mountain to look at the promised land. God's people were about to go in. What do you think Moses is going to pray? Maybe just one last time. God, pretty please, with cheese on top, may I come in? What's Moses' prayer? Numbers chapter 27, verse 15. Moses spoke to the Lord, may the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the community who will go out before them and come in before them, who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the community of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd. Moses isn't praying for himself. He's not even thinking about himself. He's thinking about the Israelites. Yes, the Israelites that had grumbled against him so many times, the Israelites that had wanted to depose him and kill him. He's praying for them because he knows that when he dies, he's going to leave a ministry vacancy behind. And so as he looks out on the promised land, he thinks of them. And this ministry vacancy that he's about to leave, it's filled by his compassionate prayer. Who did Moses pray for? He said, the community of the Lord. He's on his deathbed and he's not worried about himself. He's not worried about his legacy. He's not saying, God, can I pick someone that's a lot like me, that continues my style, that continues my legacy? God, this is my congregation. I've been serving them for 40 years. No, he says, it's the community of the Lord. And who gets to pick a successor? He prays to God. May the Lord appoint someone. And God is uniquely qualified for this because he is the God of the spirits of all flesh. He created everyone. And he knows them inside and out. He knows their talents and abilities. He knows the spirit that he's given them. And so Moses prays to God, the person who can fill this vacancy properly. And what's in his heart as he makes this prayer? Compassion. The same compassion that we saw Jesus have in the gospel reading as he looked at these troubled and downcast people. Moses looked at the Israelites and he said, Lord, give them someone to lead them so that the community of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd, without a good spiritual leader. Moses knows what's going to happen to the Israelites. Think about what happened to the Israelites when Moses left for 40 days. They started worshiping a golden calf. Now he's leaving them after 40 years. What's going to happen? They are going to wander off into spiritual danger. They're in trouble unless you provide someone for them. People all around us today have what we can call a ministry vacancy in their heart. You think about people who do things, unchristian things, that make you maybe want to shake your head. That person needs a shepherd. That sheep needs a shepherd. You think about all the crazy ideas out in the world, crazy ideas taught in schools, absorbed through the culture, crazy ideas that come up from our hearts. People need a leader, a shepherd, to guide them, or they will be like sheep without a shepherd, troubled and downcast and wandering. Where is our compassion for them? Where are our prayers? It seems a lot easier to dig up this compassion, to feel that gut feeling when people get into physical trouble, right? If a natural disaster happens, there's a tornado somewhere, we can't stop watching the news, we look at the pictures, we ask, how can we help? For a natural disaster, but what about a spiritual one? When we see that people are running away from God, where's our compassion then, our close attention? How can I help? We pay close attention when people are physically sick, especially children. Our heart wrenches for them. It's horrible, and we should think about how we can help. But what about when a child is wandering from the faith? What about when we see someone that thinks they don't really need a shepherd anymore? I kind of got this all figured out. Do we see them wandering away? Do we see the danger they're in? I think maybe we don't have that gut-wrenching compassion for people in those moments because we don't really think that they need it that badly. Oh, it's okay. No, as long as they vaguely remember Jesus from their childhood, they should be fine. Oh, it's okay, they're not following God's commands, but I'm sure they'll wander back eventually. Or maybe it's not okay, but someone else will pray for them. Someone else will talk to them. Someone else will invite them to church. Somebody else will say, do you have a pastor? Do you have a shepherd? Can I introduce you to mine? Someone else will do that. And maybe that attitude comes from our hearts sometimes that think, well, you know, I'm pretty good without a shepherd. I'm not that bad of a sheep. I don't wander that easily. I don't really need to interact with my pastor very often. I don't really need to learn more and more from him in Bible study and in church regularly. I don't really need to ask him this question that will bother him. And after all, I've got a lot of good shepherds online. I can just YouTube them, and I like those guys in the distance better. Where is our compassion? Where is that gut-wrenching feeling that Jesus had when he looked at people and he said, Lord, we need more! We need more shepherds! We need more workers! Quick, they're wandering off into danger! That's what Moses is saying here. He doesn't have time to be apathetic. He doesn't have time to say, well, someone else will pray. Moses is about to die. And he sees the Israelites, and he knows what they are like, just like us today. He knows they are ready to wander at a moment's notice, like a little baby without father watching for 1 second. It's gone! And so Moses prays, Lord, please, give them a shepherd, so they won't be like sheep without a shepherd, so they won't wander away. This is the compassion that our Savior has for us. And if we're apathetic about it, if we don't feel so compassionate about other people who have ministry vacancies in their hearts, well, that just shows how much we need Jesus' compassion. How much we are like sheep wandering away without even realizing it. And Jesus has to come for us, and he does. He came into this world like a shepherd willing to leave the 99 to come after one. He's always coming after you. He's always making sure that there is someone to share his words with you in your life. I'm proof of it this morning. You came in here and there was someone to say, not by my power, but I stand here by Christ's authority. As a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I share your shepherd's words with you. I forgive you your sins. You have a shepherd here today to bring you to those green pastures of the Lord's Supper, to feed you in your faith, to forgive your lack of compassion, to draw you back and give you Jesus' heart. This is your Savior's compassion for you. And he prayed for you. You heard it in the gospel reading. Lord, send out workers into the harvest. And he's answering that prayer. Because when a ministry vacancy is filled, it's filled by a prepared God. That's what happened in the gospel reading. It's great. Jesus looks at all these people without shepherds, and he says, hey, disciples, let's pray. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Pray that the Lord send out workers into his harvest. And what happens in the very next verse? Jesus answers their prayer by sending them out. Jesus picked the 12 disciples. Lord, please send out workers. Jesus says, great, I've just prepared you. Off you go. And what happens when Moses prays? Lord, please give these people a shepherd. And the Lord answers, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. Oh, Joshua, you mean this guy right next to me, my right-hand man for the last 40 years? Yeah, take him. 40 years before Moses prayed this prayer, God had already been preparing the answer. He had already placed Joshua next to him to learn from him, to be prepared. But most importantly, he says, take Joshua in whom is the Spirit. He had given Joshua the Spirit. He had equipped him to lead God's people. Moses prayed and God said, good, here's your answer. And Joshua wouldn't be the same as Moses. He'd be different. Nobody would come like Moses until Jesus, a prophet like him who spoke to God face to face. And Joshua would have to interact with God a little differently. We read in those verses that Joshua would have to go to the priest. The priest would have to go to God. And he would use something called the Urim and the Thummim. These devices we don't really understand, but it was probably something like casting lots, and they could tell what God was saying, yes or no, and then the priest would take that decision, and he would go back to Joshua and say, Joshua, this is what God says, and Joshua would go to God's people and say, let's go. Like a good military leader, he would go in front of them and come back in. He would lead them out and bring them back. Joshua would be the leader that God had prepared for them. God is always prepared to fill ministry vacancies. You think about the vacancies in the wells right now. We've been thinking about it maybe for the last 3-4 years. Wow, all these teachers, or these schools without teachers, all these churches without pastors, hundreds of them. What are we going to do? God has been preparing for this since before time began. He's not surprised. He is prepared. He will fill these vacancies. But the wonderful thing is that he lets us be involved. He lets us pray like Moses did, and he gives us answers to our prayers so that we can give thanks to him. And St. Paul's, I think, in a unique way, has been a big way that God has sent workers out into the field. When I came here, someone gave me this school yearbook with a list of all the called workers that had come out of St. Paul's Lutheran School. It was hundreds of names long. And think about how people here were involved in that. Through your prayers, through your offerings, through your volunteering, the school is running. Through calling teachers, you were preparing these people. By being part of the Synod and supporting the Synod's ministry, you support Michigan Lutheran Seminary, Luther Prep, Martin Luther College, Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, to get these people ready so that we could play a part to answer a prayer that would come 20 years in the future. So that a school or a church who would realize, uh-oh, we need a shepherd, could pray to God and within months or within years could have an answer because God had been using us to get that person ready for 20 years. God is prepared. And he uses us to send shepherds out into this harvest field. And what a blessing that is. Why? Because where are these shepherds leading people? To the promised land. That's why we're so dedicated to this cause. That's why, like Moses, we don't even care if we see the results. We pray to God. We do what we can. We encourage people. We give offerings. And who knows, we might die before we see any of the fruits, but we don't care because we want God's people to have a shepherd. Just like people in generations past have sacrificed so that you can have shepherds. And Moses would enter that promised land. No, he couldn't enter it physically, that earthly promised land, but God would bring him there. And God will bring you there. Through Jesus, the good shepherd, who speaks through his many shepherds. I've heard many veteran pastors who are talking to young men training for the ministry say, good, because I need someone to share the gospel with me on my deathbed. There are times maybe where we think, oh, I don't need a shepherd, but on our deathbed is not one of them. When the devil will come to us and say, hey, remember that sin you committed 38 years ago or 38 minutes ago? God should never let you in. You're not good enough to enter the promised land. And in a sense, he'd be right. But Jesus will provide a shepherd to speak his words, to say, you get to enter the promised land by grace. What Moses couldn't do by the law, by what you do, Joshua, the true Joshua, Jesus will do by bringing you into the promised land by his grace. That shepherd will be with you Always. Yes, even as you go through the valley of the shadow of death, that shepherd will lead you so that you can dwell in the promised land, in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.